Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, and welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott.
And I'm Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Alex Williams. Scott, I've got to say, before we go any further, I am really digging your cap today.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I've got my Rally North America cap on. Uh-huh. Usually, you know, I wear it around on the weekends, mm-hmm. you know, kind of casual thing, right? But I wore it to work today, and that usually signifies that it's time for me to get a haircut.
Is that your secret?
That is. It kind of is. I mean, I'll switch it up, you know, now and then. But this is my Rally North America cap. I love this one. And Glenn Beck gave that to me. And wear it occasionally on weekends. And, yeah, like I said, it is. If I took this off, it would be horrifying. You know, when I go into a restaurant now as a customer, they expect me to wear a hairnet. That's how bad it's getting.
That's what happened. Okay. Yeah. I thought you knew that guy. No. It's just a health issue. So speaking of health and speaking of fantastic segues and, of course, speaking of cars, today's episode is something that we hadn't really addressed before. Now, in the past, we had looked at the more sinister side of new car smell.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, and that's going to play into this one, too.
And that's going to play in as well. Spoiler alert, please do check out our episode on new car smell, but I will tell you what's happening. The stuff you smell is a combination of what are called VOCs, volatile organic chemicals.
Bad stuff.
Bad, bad stuff.
Yeah.
And the problem here is that there's a debate over whether some of these VOCs can cause health issues, right? Especially in some older cars using older materials.
Yeah, long-term effects.
But as it turns out, you may not have to worry about new car smell in a lot of newer vehicles. What you may have to worry about instead are allergies. Scott, you're not a hypochondriac, are you?
No, not by any means, no.
No, I'm not either, but I love hanging out with my hypochondriac friends, especially if they know they're hypochondriacs.
Why is that? Because, like, you always feel like you're healthy, you're full, like you're, you know, there's nothing wrong with you at all.
Oh, yeah,
compared
man.
Compared to them.
Oh, yeah, I'm on my second chili dog of the morning, and then somebody comes by and is telling me about coconut water or whatever. Go, I'll just have another soda. But it's something that might sound like the rant of a hypochondriac when you hear somebody say it. If one of your friends comes up to you and says, "Hey, I think I'm allergic to my car, or I think my car's making me sick," you normally you would be like, get out of here. It's probably ragweed season or something.
Yeah, yeah. They've got seasonal allergies mm-hmm. or maybe even a little a touch of asthma or something, you know, that's affecting them when they're outside. Because when you're in your car, you're out in the open. You're out in, you know, out in nature, right?
Right.
I mean, typically. I mean, you're in downtown or whatever, I understand, but you're out and doing things. You're not confined to your house. You're not in mm-hmm. An area that you normally clean. You normally keep, you know, vacuumed all the time. You normally keep, you know, dust and allergens and pollens and everything at a minimum with things like, you know, filtration in your furnace, mm-hmm. your air conditioner, all that has, you know, filters that take all that stuff out of the air for you in your house. Plus you're vacuuming, plus you're cleaning, you're dusting, you're doing all that.
Right.
A lot of people neglect their cars and that's a problem. So it could be the case that you're, hypochondriac friend isn't a hypochondriac and when saying, you know, my car is making me sick. It's a real possibility and it's something, it's an angle that I hadn't really thought about until you sent me this article. And I started digging around. I found a couple. There's one on our website on howstuffworks.com called How to Allergy Proof Your Car and Garage.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this other one that you sent me. Your car may be making you sick.
Which sounds a little alarmist,
yeah.
to be honest, but there's some interesting statistics here, so let's start with those. According to Allerdays, A-L-L-E-R, Days, an information service that provides info on allergies and their causes, Americans spend every year an estimated $500 million just on allergy treatments.
That's a lot.
That's a whole heck of a lot.
Yeah.
And in addition, people who suffer from allergies lose 3 million days of work and 2 million days of school every single year.
Wait, okay. So a year is 365 days.
Yeah.
We're talking about a lot of people here in other
yeah,
words,
yeah,
right?
Yes,
okay,
yeah.
So 3 million days of work and 2 million days of school are lost because of just allergies every single year. All right. Well, I wonder how much of that is due to – you know, being sick because of being in the car, commuting.
Right.
It has to happen.
Yeah, because like you said, Scott, oftentimes if somebody has a really big allergy or something, you know, like they can't get by pollen season, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oftentimes these folks will take extreme steps to clean their homes.
You know, I had never had a problem with allergies until I moved down here, down uh-huh. to Atlanta. And then, of course, I think everybody in this area and probably even other areas of the world know that you know, there's a certain season where the pine trees lose their pollen. Like they – I guess they're pollinating. Whatever they're doing. They're shedding their pollen or whatever
right,
you call
right,
it.
Right.
And there are clouds of yellow pollen in the air.
Everywhere.
So like a gust blows across some pine trees, you'll see a cloud of yellow pollen blow across the road.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends up on everything and it ends up in on your skin, on your clothes, mm-hmm. in your car, of course, in your garage. I mean mm-hmm. it ends up everywhere and that's – what started to bother me when I came down here, and a lot of different seasons, I guess, you know, where you're not accustomed to things blooming all year long.
Mm-hmm.
Now they bloom all year long for me here, and of course for everybody down here.
Right.
But you know, there's a lot of different concerns and humidity. So there's mold spores that you know are something new that there's less humidity up where I'm from. And it seems like, you know, moving locations can also alert you to sensitivities that you didn't know you had.
That's a really good point. So this means that you might not find yourself suffering from something in your car just because you moved to a new location. It might be the road trip at the wrong time of year.
Could be. And all that stuff, again, I mean, if your cabin air filter isn't great, we'll talk about ways to filter it out of your car.
Right.
But if your cabin air filter isn't great, the seals in your car aren't great, you know, you get your windows down as you travel through some of these areas,
mm-hmm.
your car picks up that stuff and then you take it with you wherever you're going and,
yeah.
and it becomes an irritant.
Yeah. So one thing that you'll hear a lot of auto manufacturers talking about nowadays is the idea of the car as the quote-unquote third space. So there's the idea that, you know, your first space is your home, right?
Yeah.
And then your second space is your work or your school, mm-hmm. whatever that other environment is. And then the third space where you would spend at least the third most amount of time may well be your car, but we don't have – it's not like your job. There's not a staff of people cleaning up. It's not like your home, you know, there's a – unfortunately, it's not like your home. A lot of drivers don't have an established cleaning routine the way that you would in a house or a workplace.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people like to keep their car clean. But
sure.
But maybe you're not going to the extremes that you would for your house. You're not using the same types of products that alleviate some of these issues. Like we're talking about things like, you know, dust mites and spoiled food.
Ugh.
There's also mold spores that are floating around. There's human and animal dander, of course. We're talking about like, you know, dead flakes of skin, which is gross to think about, but a lot of dust and dirt is just human skin cells. It's gross.
Mm-hmm.
There's chemicals that are released from, you know, the fabrics and the plastics and everything inside that we talked about.
Yeah.
It's just it's a place that needs a regular cleaning, just like your home does, but people often neglect that. And I know that some people like to say they keep a clean car, they keep it spotless all the time.
Sure.
But, you know, maybe you got in with wet boots one day. And, you know, it soaked the carpet and the padding beneath and allowed mold to grow. Or there's that mildewy smell that you just, you know, can't quite get rid of.
Mm.
You know, it lasts like a month or something. Or, you know, the kid spills milk in the back seat or something gross like that. And, you know, that smell never comes out. But there's something behind that. There's bacteria. There's germs. It's a bad situation. And it attracts more bacteria, it attracts more mold spores and more pollen, and it spirals out of control. It's
there's
like
a snowball.
Yeah, snowball effect, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, we're not calling everybody dirty. So unless, before we get too Howard Hughes sounding, I do want to establish that in extensive off-air conversations, it's become abundantly clear to both Scott and I that he is the cleaner car keeper.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Well, you know, here's the thing. It slips back and forth a little bit because there are times I go through where, you know, I have to eat my car sometimes.
Right.
And I know that's a cardinal sin to a lot of people.
Oh, man.
And it's bad for your car to eat in. It really is. It's terrible. I mean, for one, you know, I never even noticed this before, but I don't know why. I was eating something in the car, fast food of some kind, and I pull out the napkins, right? Just simple as this, right?
Sure.
You pull out those paper napkins or, you know, brown paper or whatever. As I pull them out of the fast food bag that's, you know, soaked with grease and everything that it shouldn't, you know, stuff I shouldn't eat. I pull it out, and I don't know if it was the way the sunlight was coming through the window or what, but there was like this just flourish of dust that appears, right? And it was those napkins. It's like they're disintegrating. The paper fibers. If you shake it in the air, it's like, well, no wonder your car always looks dusty is because, you know, I've got these napkins that I pull out all the time and try to eat something. So it's not just, you know, staying on top of like making sure there's not a French fry, you know, loose underneath the seat or something. It's never going to get rid of that. You're never going to get rid of that dust if you don't keep hauling these stupid napkins out all the time. And it's a simple thing, but that's just one thing. That's like one place where some kind of irritant will come from. And then there's all kinds of other things too. I mean, you drop a little piece of, I don't know, bacon or a little bit of hamburger or whatever it is, or a piece of cheese from that taco that you're eating. That stuff grows mold and it's bad for you. You shouldn't have that in the environment that you're in, but you know that it will end up fossilized underneath the seat at some point, right? It's going to stay there for a while because you're not going to track it down. If you can't see it, how are you going to see it to vacuum it up later?
Right.
I feel like I'm on the edge of a rant here, Ben. So I'm gonna back it down.
You're gonna walk it back.
I'm going to. I do know that you're not supposed to eat in your car, but sometimes it's unavoidable.
True.
We'll get to that in this episode.
Sure.
Because there's some things that you should avoid doing. Eating is one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I've eaten before when I'm on a road trip. And my policy with that is pretty much that if I'm on a road trip, if we're in the car for more than 3 or 4 hours solid, and people riding with me want to eat, they say I'm a little bit of a the phrase they use is Nazi about it. They say I'm a little bit of a Nazi about it, but
well, that's good. You need to be strong about these things.
Well, I have certain foods banned.
Yeah, okay.
You know
well,
what
that
I mean?
Makes sense.
Like,
sure.
Don't come into my car with pulled pork. You know,
someone tried to eat pulled pork in your car.
Yeah, we stopped at this barbecue place, and I said I was being cool, man. I was like, look, they've got this picnic bench. The barbecue looks good. It looks great. We can just eat out here. It's a nice day.
Yeah.
And we're like, no, we do have a schedule to keep, which was true. And I said, okay. So I wolfed down my sandwich and then I'm going back to the car. And then this joker walking in with like half the sandwich, the sauce on their fingers.
Oh.
And I stopped them. I pulled one of those, What's that movie, Lord of the Rings, where the wizard Gandalf is like, "You shall not pass." Anyway, it's cool. We're still friends. But
old pork. That would be on my no list as well.
Yeah, and I don't think anything. You know, if it's your car, it's your kingdom.
Sure,
that's the tack I take. But we're not just here to warn you about those statistics and the kinds of stuff you can find. We're here to provide solutions. So the first question is, going back to Scott's earlier example about hamburger or a little piece of bacon, is where do you find these culprits? You know, because there are certain trouble spots in every vehicle.
Well, the first place you should look is under the hood, believe it or not. So not even in the cabin itself. I mean, there's going to be dirt and dust and grime that, you know, gets on top of the engine. There's going to be leaking oil and moisture, you know, that's collected underneath there. Yeah. You know, for like the air conditioning system, I guess, the cooling system, you know, needs to actually all of it. You know, you're getting your fresh air through there, really.
Right.
Sort of. I mean, in a way. I mean, let's not. It would be pointless to draw out a diagram right now, but the way the air comes into different vehicles. But, you know, that cowl area that's right in front of the windshield wipers?
Yeah, the intake.
Yeah, that becomes there's an accumulation of leaves and debris and stuff that gets in there. And sometimes that stuff can, you know, hold mold spores, of course, and pollen. And all that eventually goes into the air cleaning system. I know there's supposed to be a cabin air filter in there somewhere. Some people might not have that, which is a bad scenario to be in, you know, to begin with. But even if you have one and it's clogged or it's dirty, allowing some of that, you know, garbage to filter through there, you know, to keep coming through, it's all dirty and gross.
Yeah,
that's bad news too. I mean, it can be bad for you. It can be unhealthy.
Yeah, here's the analogy I like to think of when I'm trying to explain this to people who are not, you know, always on top of their car maintenance. Mm-hmm. Imagine the air going from outside into your car like a river, and where the air intake is, when leaves and little sticks and pine needles and road dirt and stuff like that, when that kind of gunks up, it's like there's a dam in the river. And not only is it, if you've ever seen a beaver build a dam, you know that it's not clear water on the other side. There are a bunch of other things from that agglomeration of, well, I'll say a crap, that are filtering in there. And what makes it worse is that in the difference between an actual dam and what's happening in your air intake is that, as you said, the mold isn't just flowing through there. Little bits of dead leaves aren't just flowing through there. Stuff is breeding in there. It becomes a little city for bacteria and for all those things that play the otherwise valuable ecological role of breaking down and digesting dead leaves and plants. Now they're right by your wipers and they are coming for you.
Yeah. Now, to be clear, we're not talking about, you know, the air that's going into your engine. That's a different.
No, that's
different.
A
whole different system.
That's,
you know,
different.
We talked about that. This is, you know, that again, that area right near the wipers, you know, kind of down below at the bottom end of the windshield.
Yeah.
So if you can clean that area off as often as possible, get rid of all the garbage that's there. As Ben said, it's just like a dam that builds up and breeds grossness.
make it one thing I always encourage people to do. I say always, maybe this is just me ranting at my friends, but one thing I encourage people to do is to have a gas station routine. So when you're filling up your tank, you have a couple minutes, right? Mm-hmm. And you can sit there on your phone or checking out the hottie at the next pump over, which I'm guilty of often. But you can also take the time just to like get that crap off of your intake, and then, you know,
it takes you 30 seconds.
I don't want to sound holier than thou, man, but if you've got bird crap on your car, this is the time when you should get it off pronto, right?
Yeah.
We already mentioned the passenger compartment. So you got, like, if you ever haul your pets, that's going to
–
you
hair.
Should vacuum after that.
Yeah, hair and dander and all that stuff. I mean, that pet dander can be bad news for some people. Mm-hmm. You know, even if it doesn't make you sick, it can make the next person that is your passenger sick too. So there's that to consider as well. We talked about, you know, spoiled food particles and fumes and things like that from foam padding and vinyl and the carpeting and plastics. And, you know, there's lots of that in every single vehicle. I mean, new and old. So no one's exempt from this, this type of thing. The off-gassing, I guess, that happens from some of those materials.
And then, of course, moisture.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm doing that accent. But moisture will, of course, moisture can often be the great destroyer of all things technological. So it can make its way past busted weather stripping, rusted body panels, a leaky windshield, and it will find its way under the carpet. And it will thrive in foam rubber on carpet padding or the wet cloth itself. And it can be a real pain to get that out.
Oh, definitely. If you have seats that have ever been wet, if you left the window down or if, you know, you had a bad seal.
Ooh,
something
did you
like
ever
that.
Do that? Did you ever leave the window down in the, on a rainy night?
I have. Yeah. Yeah. That's a horrible mistake to wake up to in the morning.
I did.
Isn't it?
I mean, yeah. And I felt like a real rube driving around with a beach towel.
Well, how long did it take for that mold and mildew smell to come out of the car, or did it ever?
Man, I took that. I took a shop vac first in a garage, went over and over and couldn't quite get it all out. And then I, because it, as you said, it's really humid here in Atlanta, and this happened in the South. And I was like, man, if I leave this thing other than bone dry, it's going to be a terrible smell for the rest of its days.
Well, like every rental car in Florida. I say this every time. Every rental car in Florida smells moldy and mildew when you first get into it. And I don't know if it's in the heating and cooling system. I don't know if it's in the seats or in the carpet. It's probably in everything. I mean, I think everybody – I mean, of course, it's very, very humid in the northern part, at least of Florida. I think all of Florida, really. But if you go to, you know, Disney World or something, you run a minivan and, you're all excited about it, but you throw the luggage in and everybody hops in the car, and then there's that really, like – it makes your nose crinkle up a bit, you know, like you kind of like look at each other like, what is that smell? And then after a few minutes, either it dissipates or maybe you get accustomed to it.
I think you probably get accustomed to it.
That's it. But then, you know, what, I mean, you're sitting on moldy seats. I don't know. Maybe it's in the carpets. Who knows? But I have this problem every single time I go to Florida. I've mentioned it probably 30 times on this podcast over the last 9 years. It's really a problem down there.
So I'm also really glad that you mentioned mildew or mold that might be in the AC because this happens all the time in human environments. This happened to me before too. And I wasn't, you know, I wasn't filthy. I'm not like Scott Benjamin clean in my car, but like I vacuum and stuff.
I didn't know which direction you were going to go.
No. Scott's cars are always super clean.
I try to keep up with it.
And, this is something that a lot of us have probably experienced when you have a clogged AC evaporator drain hole.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think everybody can understand this one, too. I mean, you get in a car and you turn on, you know, the AC system, whether it's heating or cooling, and just an awful smell comes through the vents. And again, it's not from anywhere else in the car. It's just through the vents. It's coming right from there. So, you know, it's part of that system. How do you dig in there to clean that out? I mean, there are, you know, online tips and tricks, I guess, you can do. And there's even some spray. I remember a long time ago, this was a problem in a certain type of, I think it was a Chrysler product, probably a lot of products, but there was a way that you could drill a hole through one of these cases because, you know, it's a sealed system, really. Pretty much sealed, not entirely sealed, but there's a flat panel that you could drill a hole through an access hole and then use this can of spray that they would give you. It's I think it cleaned the coil, the evaporator coil or something like that. But anyways, it removed all that that mold mildew smell almost instantaneously. It was pretty nice, really. But I don't know how long that lasted. I don't remember how long the fix was good for.
Did it really remove it or did it just mask it?
No, it removed it. It was cool. It was a way that it was something that broke down the actual mold. You know, it was a way of chemically cleaning.
That's cool.
The system. So, and there was a procedure that went along with it. You know, run it at full speed, hot or whatever it was, and you know, et cetera. But it was effective. And I think if you know you search online for how to get rid of that smell, a lot of cars will have access to the areas that you know have that mold and mildew and allow you to clean out that drain hole. Or you know something like what I just mentioned, where you know there are workarounds, I guess, and manufacturers know how to work around this because you're not the first person to complain about that smell.
Right. And we promise you can do better than buying hanging air fresheners for your windshield.
Oh, yeah.
Or for your rearview mirror.
Well, yeah, or the ones that you put on the vents themselves. Have you seen that? Yeah, air blows through them. That's good for a temporary fix, but it's not the real solution.
No, it's not ideal.
No.
The last problem point that you would probably find in a car, well, that sounds a little Dr. Seussian. The last problem point you will probably find. Okay. The point is your trunk And I know what everybody's saying. Like, I check my trunk. We all hopefully pride ourselves on having our roadside assistance kits or even maybe our bug out bags. I recommend both. You can check that out in our earlier podcast. We probably all pride ourselves on having this stuff in there. But the thing is, of course, with the poor sealing on a on the trunk itself or on a tail lamp or rusted panel, the moisture will build, and the trunk is the perfect place for this kind of stuff to breed.
Well, it's carpeted for one, right? Yeah. There's padding underneath there sometimes, not always. There's that particle board sometimes that they use to separate, you know, where the spare tire is below the floor right there. Sometimes that's used. Sometimes it's plastic. Sometimes it's a different type of material. But again, you're right. This is a huge panel that has a giant seal all the way around it. Mm-hmm. And if that seal's compromised in any way, there's going to be water coming in. There's going to be inlet of, or intake of water in that area. And here's another problem that a lot of people don't think about. And this is one that I've run across looking for a used vehicle.
Oh no.
Look at the spare tire underneath.
I knew you were going to say
that. Yeah. If you do that, take a look at the spare tire, lift up your trunk, carpeting or whatever you have to do to get to the spare tire. Occasionally you'll find that that area is full of water.
Which is disgusting.
Because that's the low point, right? I mean, that's the bottom point of the trunk, really. I mean, it's where it all ends up, really. And I've searched for this in used cars before. There was a Jeep that we were looking at, a Wrangler, and the back area, you know, like there's it was a soft top, so you know it had the plastic windows, and it wasn't latched properly. You know, there's like two clips or something that have to come together back there. So I noticed that the back area was all wet. You know, the material back there was wet. And I lifted it up, you know, the back area, and I know that – I think the spare tire is outside on a Wrangler, if I remember right. And then in the floor, there's either a storage compartment or something like that.
Yeah,
and I think they had, like, their tools in there, like a jack and, you know, things like that, totally full of water. It's just loaded with water. So you know that, you know, it wasn't – I'll tell you what. It wasn't fresh by any means. There were, like, little – like you know when you look in like a pond and you see those little bugs that kind of like wiggle to swim?
Wow.
Yeah, it was like that. It was it was really gross. They had been there for a while. Yeah, exactly. Things had started to grow in the water. And so you know that the rest of the car is probably not in great shape anyways. But yeah, watch for stuff like that. I mean, the moisture seals around a trunk or a soft top or whatever, all that stuff is really, really important. So your seals are you know, if you're loading and unloading things out of your trunk, like you know, something from Home Depot or, you know, some lumber or whatever, make sure you don't damage those seals, because the next time it rains really hard, you're gonna know it.
So we've walked through some of the huge problem areas, and now you're probably wondering, Scott, Ben, I'm looking around. Some people are listening to this while they're driving, Scott. You know that. They're looking around. They're thinking, oh, what am I breathing in? When's the last time I looked at my spare tire? Have no fear, friends and neighbors. We will tell you how to fix this. We will provide solutions after a word from our sponsor.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back. Scott, while we were on the break. Oh, did you have a good break?
I did have a good break. Yeah, I didn't get a lot accomplished, believe it or not.
as we were sitting here for 60 seconds.
No.
Well, as we were on break, it just occurred to me there was something I wanted to ask you earlier. What is the dirtiest car you've seen? Caveats. Not the dirtiest car you owned, just seen in general.
Okay.
But not on the internet or, you know, like a forwarded email or something or in a photo. In real life, what's the dirtiest car?
In real life? Okay, I'm going to ask you the same thing. But,
all right, cool.
But in real life, I came across a vehicle in a parking lot. I believe it was a Walmart parking lot. So, you know how they have that kind of loose policy of people can sleep in the parking lot?
Yeah.
In vehicles? There was I don't know if it was a whole family. It was at least two people sleeping in a car. They had cats in the car, and it was piled with just garbage. You know what I mean? Like the back seat, you can't even get into the back. But it wasn't just like – it wasn't clothes and stuff like that. I mean, these people were having a hard time apparently. They were living out of the car, I think, piled to the top. It looked like old newspapers and fast food bags. And, again, there were at least two cats in there. Two people sleeping. I just walked past, you know, of course you're not going to disturb anybody. I just walked past, at least two cats. I don't know if there were more in the rest of the garbage or whatever, but looked filthy. You know, it had like that, you know, when, someone smokes inside a car and they don't open the windows or whatever. I mean, even if they do open the windows, I guess it gets that film on the inside.
On the, and the glass and the upholstery, like on the.
Yeah.
On the ceiling kind of drops down.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, this one is so full that I couldn't even see if it was dropping down like that. There were, you know, two people in the front or whatever. But it was a big old car too. I mean, I'm going to guess like a Bonneville or something like that, but an old, old one, you know, really long vehicle. Just filthy car. I mean, it reminded me like of an Uncle Buck car or something like that. You know, like the car that Uncle Buck drove in the movies. What about you? What's the dirtiest car you've ever seen or had to ride in?
Oh, okay. Had to ride in. Well, that's
two separate
stakes.
Two separate categories.
The dirtiest car I've ever seen. The only way I could have ridden in it is if I was driving, because there was literally no more room. I remember it like it was yesterday. I'm waving my hand so we can do a sound effect on it. Thanks. Our producer, Alex, is nodding.
Yesterday.
Or I don't know if he's just waving at me. But either way, we'll keep going with the story. Yeah, seriously, it was a Volvo station wagon, a 240, I believe. And it was filled to the brim with fast food garbage.
Ugh.
To the brim, Scott. And the passenger seat was filled as well. It was leaking oil, clearly.
Yeah.
Like the puddle was running.
Mm-hmm.
It was the transmission was the muffler had the like wires tied to the undercarriage
to keep
it hanging
on. Coat hangers or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There were cigarette butts and ashes all along the dashboard.
Yeah.
There was a soda that had spilled a while ago.
Yeah.
I know because the cup from Checkers was still there. And I hate to say it, man.
Yeah.
It was in a Walmart parking lot. I'm not knocking Walmart.
So the same place.
Yeah.
And it was interesting.
And they were parked in a handicapped spot that not have a sticker, and you know how I am about that.
You know,
but I figured they had enough problems.
Well, yeah, you don't want to stir up any more trouble with that situation.
Yeah,
boy, that's what a coincidence, though, huh? Walmart parking lot.
Yeah,
interesting.
Maybe we were just at the same Walmart.
I don't think so. I think that type of character might roll through there occasionally. You know, like more often than not, I guess. In the parking lot for a night stay.
They did have out of state plates.
Well, okay, see, and that's one of those things. It's like one of those, you know, we're going to just look the other way, right? We're going to not notice that you're sleeping here in our parking lot.
Right.
They let RVs stay there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's trucks and stuff. Yeah. I'm not knocking anybody for the kind of car they own. And I know sometimes there are repairs that are, you know, the kind of stuff that makes your car function better, but is not critical to its operation, like a largely cosmetic repair or something. I get that sometimes we're not in the place in our lives where we are capable of paying for that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But there are free trash cans around the country.
Yeah, that was just being lazy.
There are billions. There's all this fast food, I'm telling you, to the ceiling. Oh, man.
To fill up a Volvo station wagon, too. That's pretty big.
Right, because it's not just the sedan. That's the thing.
Maybe
there was stuff under the garbage, but I'm telling you, man, I'm probably pretty lucky that the person didn't walk out, whomever owned it or whomever was driving it, because I walked around the vehicle. And, you know, if you like cars, there's something almost like sacrilegious about seeing a real POS.
Yeah.
And I think if they cleaned it up, it would have been in better condition. But that is full stop. Now, the grossest I've seen. And let us know the grossest you've seen.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think the Bonneville that I came upon that was probably the dirtiest. I mean, there might be examples of worse off than that, but yeah. I think it was too far gone. If you've got cats living in the car with you and you've got, you know, that greasy film on the windows and you know that it's been smoked in heavily,
right.
The seats are going to be saturated with that, the carpet, you know, it's just – I think it was beyond its use – well, I guess beyond its used car lot. This is a real peach days. You know, I don't know how better to say that. You know, it's probably not going to be sold to anybody for any kind of substantial sum of money.
They couldn't say this has a lot of personality.
No,
right?
No. It had a lot of personality. That's right. But no, I think it's more of just scrap metal at this point. You know, hopefully.
Yeah.
That's the extremes, right?
That's the extreme. And I love that you mentioned smoking because that's one of our top tips.
Yeah.
One of the first and most important things that you can do to prevent this kind of aggregation of contaminants and pollutants and stuff in your car is, of course, to not let people smoke inside of it. Now, for some of us, that might sound a little bit kid glovey, you know, the idea being like, well, if I've got a car and my car emits gas, you know, my car runs on gas, my car's emitting stuff in the atmosphere, why wouldn't I let somebody smoke inside of it? The problem is that if someone is smoking inside the passenger compartment, as Scott said, that stuff gets in the seats, and
yeah.
It gets in the trim, and it gets in the carpet, and then it slowly comes out over time.
Sure.
Like another VOC creating new car smell.
So somebody who has an allergy to smoke or, you know, the pollutants that are given off by secondhand
sure,
smoke
sure.
Will find that, you know, they're going to be susceptible to that in your vehicle. Even if you haven't smoked in that car for a year, it slowly comes out of all those fabrics and materials. So it stays there. It accumulates.
And maybe, you know, if you're on the road, and you're smoking with your windows down, mm-hmm. that'll mitigate the effect, mm-hmm. probably to a good degree, but it's not going to prevent it, especially if you're using the ashtray in your car. And if it's not a health issue to you, if that's not your main concern, then your other concern should be resale value because it is very difficult to get that smell out.
Yeah.
Very, very difficult.
Yeah, a lot of times you'll see smokers that hold the cigarette out the car window.
Yeah.
And I always wonder if that's like a kid trying to smoke without their parents knowing. Of course they're going to know. But I always wonder if that's the case or if they're trying to, you know, keep the car, you know, the new car smell.
Right.
But still smoke in the car on the way to work or school or wherever they're going. Next one is pretty obvious, right? I mean, don't eat in the car. We told you that already. That's probably it's easier said than done, really, in a lot of cases. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's tough not to. Sometimes it's just unavoidable. But even the tiniest crumbs, the tiniest, you know, drops of soda or whatever you're drinking, you know, if they get into the fabric or on the carpet, that stuff just attracts, you know, mold spores, pollen, you know, all that stuff. It attracts other things. It's not just the material itself. You know, and of course, you know, those little pieces of food start to decay. They might even attract insects. It might attract, mice, rats.
Yeah.
Like rats in a Prius. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
we have a coworker that had rats in a Prius here. And that was because, the rats were attracted to the food that the kids were dropping in the back seat. And then, once they clean up all the food, you know, the Cheerios or whatever the kids had, juice boxes left over or whatever, the rats started to go for the padding in the car seats, the kids' car seats. And I know this all sounds really gross, but they trapped the rats and got rid of the problem. But I think there was a second instance of it, briefly, and then it went away again because, you know, they knew what to look for. But rats in a Prius. Gross.
Rats in a Prius.
Gross. Gross.
Also, if you have somebody who is especially allergen sensitive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the correct term, Scott?
I think so.
Okay.
Why not?
If you have somebody in
How about
your...
asthmatic?
Asthmatic. Okay. Yeah. There we go. Asthmatic. There are a lot of manufacturers and a lot of aftermarket folks who make specialized duct and AC duct and passenger compartment filters.
All right. I find this interesting because, you know, when you go to the home store, you know, like, you know, whether it's a big box store,
you know,
Home Depot, Lowe's, whatever.
Right.
And you look at the filters for your furnace or your AC unit or whatever you have, right? You know, there's the ones that are $2 or $3, right? They're the paper ones. They're real cheap, you know, they're very, very simple. And then they go all the way up to the ones that are $30+ each, right? And they're the ones that claim to filter out all the pollen, all the dust, all the particulate matter that's floating around inside your system. I don't know, you know, the validity of any of those claims, but it's interesting to know that there's a similar situation for your car. I mean, you're able to choose car filters that have higher, I don't know, I guess it'd be like it filter out X number of microns of material, you know, down to a certain point, you know, like a smaller filtration. It seems to me though, like you'd want maximum flow to prevent the system from burning itself out, from working harder. But, you know, I guess a stronger filter would mean that it would catch more stuff. So I don't know. You're kind of in a bind there, right?
Yeah. And you have to be careful with some of that stuff too, because unfortunately, even in 2017, as we record this, there's still some snake oil salesmen out there.
Oh yeah, I feel the same way. You know, and that filter advice, I guess, was something that I just heard from my brother. They had somebody come over and service their furnace at their house, and the guy said, just stick with the $3 or $4 filters in your furnace. They're fine, and it makes your furnace work a lot less hard to push the air through. And I'm sure you're going to get a little bit of dust or whatever, but unless you're hypersensitive to something like that, you really don't need that extra level of filtration. Now, I can't give advice to everybody, so you know,
sure,
investigate that for yourself. But I do find it interesting that, you know, you can switch up the filters in your car like you do in your house. I mean, for different – circumstances, I guess. You know, during pollen season, you might want to up it a little bit. You know, check it a little more regularly than you normally would. And cabin air filters. People don't ever check cabin air filters. I know that it's one of those things when you get your quick oil change place, they always want you to change your cabin air filter. And usually the line is, right, I'll do that when I get home or whatever. And then no one ever does it, right?
Right.
Because it's super expensive there. It's really not expensive if you buy it off the auto parts shelf, you know, the store, and take it home and do it yourself. It's very easy. It's usually around the glove box area.
And it doesn't take long.
No, it's very, very fast. I mean, very few cars require you to do much more than, you know, like twist a couple of little connectors off and there's like a little shelf that you pull the old one out and put the new one in. It's that easy.
And you will notice a difference most likely.
Yeah, because you're going to have less dust and just junk floating around in the air in your car.
And here's another thing. This next tip, it's weird to me because it occurs to me that this is something most people would understand, but it has perhaps an ulterior motive behind it, or it may for you, friends and neighbors. The tip is to wash the exterior of your car. Duh, right?
Yeah.
Wash your car. Scrub the door jams, get the dirt off the weather stripping, and check on those weather strips to make sure that they aren't torn, split, leaking, or otherwise deteriorating. So if you have someone in your friend or family group who's like not a car person, especially if it's like your kid or your spouse or something, and their car is just dirty and it's an embarrassment and they need to get it taken care of and they don't care how their car looks, now you can make it an issue of their health.
That's you know right. what I mean? You just up the game.
Mm-hmm. Like, look, I know you don't care about washing the car, but we have children.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know what I mean? That's a little intense. That's a little extreme.
that would be. Yeah. Yeah. I guess you're right.
but I'm just saying, you know.
You got to drive the point home.
If we're ends justify the means kind of approach to car washing, if that's sure. what we're talking yeah. about. Then
think of the
totally
children.
Work.
What about the kids?
Don't do it for yourself. Do it for your future. Wash your car for your future, yeah, folks.
Man, clean out those door jams. Or else the kids will be sick.
Write in and let us know if that works. We won't snitch on you. There's also the thing of taking your car to one of those full service cleaners, right?
A detailer?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Getting it just inside and out, spick and span.
All right. Well, they know all the tricks, right? I mean, they know the ways to get into all those little spaces, and they have all the right brushes and tools to do all that, right?
Yeah, but it can get expensive. I wouldn't want to do it.
Well, they've got the right attachments for the vacuum to get in between the seats and, you know, all around. I know that you can, you know, create something like that on your own if you wanted to by buying the right stuff for your shop vac or whatever. But, you know, the idea is that you have a regular schedule and you clean your car, and then it's not so bad when you do have to do it. So the idea would be like a house cleaning, right? I mean, like you clean it on a regular schedule. Mm-hmm. Now, that could be just once a quarter. It could be once a season, however you want to look at this. But just if you do it regularly, you'll find that it's a lot easier to clean once you're on a schedule like that, because, you know, it's cleaned more frequently. It's not like, you know, a once a year occurrence when you get in there and vacuum and dust everything and, you know, make sure that the door jams are all clean and all that. It becomes a lot simpler, and it allows you to stay on top of things like, you know, the seals, if the seals are bad. Mm-hmm. If, you know, you do have a leak somewhere, you're able to find it a little faster, you know, than waiting a full year to find something like that. That'd be worst case scenario. But, just stay on a regular schedule and you'll find that it's a lot easier.
And one thing everybody should always have in their car, no exceptions, no caveats, always have a dust rag.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea.
It doesn't take up much space. It's not a hassle to use. There's no excuse to not have one.
I always have a microfiber cloth. Mm-hmm. And if you need to, I mean, a flock of birds flies over your car and, you know, there's the end result. I think everybody knows what the end result of that would be.
Right.
You can use, you know, a little bottle of water or something and get that off the paint right away. Of course, you have to get a new rag in the car then. But if you have a dust rag in the car, I know I look crazy, but sometimes I'm at a stoplight or something and I'll dust off the gauges or something. Again, it depends on the way the light's coming into the car. Sometimes you see things that are like you're like, man, how dusty did my dash get? Just –
right.
Last week, you know, I washed it last week. Mm-hmm. It, you know, the light's hitting it just right at, you know, when you're going home or something.
It's afternoon light.
Yeah. So I stop at a stoplight and I know I look insane. I pull out the dust rag and a quick swipe over the, over the dashboard, maybe touch up the rearview mirror or something. But little things like that help.
Yeah.
I mean, it helps and it gets some of that dust and pollen and stuff. It knocks it down and then later you can vacuum it all out.
Now, I have a question for you about this one. We talk about VOCs when they slowly release over time into the interior of your vehicle. It's called off-gassing.
Yeah.
It usually happens it often happens because of heat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that temperature change encourages this off-gassing. So a lot of cars have vinyl and plastic in them, and that's a good thing overall. It holds down the growth of mites, but it releases these VOCs. And the question I have for you is – what do you think about this idea of washing the vinyl and plastic?
Washing it?
Yeah. How often should you do that? Because I found some stuff that said, you know, take 2 tablespoons of detergent and 2 quarts of water and then set up the stuff and then wipe it down with a dry cloth.
Yeah.
Am I being lazy?
No, that's not lazy. It
sounds like a lot.
I prefer just the stuff you get in the spray bottle that's real simple. I mean, stuff that's like non-glare, you know, it doesn't leave an oily finish or anything. It's just it's just a clean solution. Rather than getting out a big bucket of, you know, sudsy water and doing that, it seems like there's just too much that can go wrong there. You're going to get water inside, you know, switches, and you're going to get water inside connectors
and radio.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a sloppy way to do it, I think. I know that you can kind of control how much you get on there. You're not splashing the whole bucket on your dash or anything, of course. Yeah. But, you know, you're being careful, but I just prefer, you know, being able to control it with, you know, the mist spray or whatever that they provide at the auto stores, you know, auto parts store. You know, again, not something that's oily, not something that's going to leave a shine, you know, that's going to be distracting or reflective in any way, and also dangerous if it gets on the steering wheel or, you know, any part that you need to grip onto. But I don't know. I feel like it's easier to do it that way. You're not being lazy by not doing that, Ben, if that's your question.
Yeah, it is my question.
No, I mean, there are times, I guess, when maybe that's necessary, though. I mean, if it's really stubborn and you don't want to, you know, buy an $8 bottle of cleaner from the, you know, the auto parts store, you'd rather just, you know, mix up this the solution for a couple of pennies and do it yourself at home. I guess you could do it that way.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're great results. I mean, why not, you know?
Yeah. Arguably, the other home tip for anybody who says, I'm going to make this stuff myself, you can clean glass with a mixture of 1/2 cup of ammonia and 1 gallon of cold water.
All right. Just buy window spray. That's as simple as that. You know, here's another thing. My grandparents always used to use newspaper to clean the windows.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
I feel like this is a dying trick, I guess, or dying
technique.
That's a better way to say it. Dying technique, because, well, for one, a lot of people don't get newspapers. And if you do, it's just the ones that they throw, you know, in your driveway for free every day, you know, with the ads in them and stuff. But I never understood how that was able to clean the inside of a window better than just, you know, a paper towel. I know paper towels are they leave lint and stuff behind.
Yeah.
But why not just use a cloth, like a, you know, the washcloth or something?
I would love to hear the answer to that. So write in.
I think it probably comes down to the type of paper that it has. But you know, you get your hands would be all covered with the black ink and everything after that. It seems like it's just a big mess.
And you know what? I feel like we can fast forward past the next two because we've already pretty much mentioned them. Vacuum your car, for Pete's sake.
Yeah.
Vacuum your car.
Yeah. So, you know, here's a tip that a lot of people won't even think about is that you can have a separate separate vacuum in the garage if you want.
Oh, yeah.
Just strictly for your car.
A little dust devil or whatever they're called.
Yeah, you could have one of those. You could have a small shop vac even. I've got a small shop vac that I have out there just for the cars.
Yeah.
And that's where it stays in the garage. And I think to use it often because it's right out in plain view.
Right.
You don't have to think about hauling the vacuum from in the house out to the garage, you know, with the attachments and everything and trying to get in there.
Yeah.
This one is just – it's a tiny little one that you can kind of carry it into the car with you and vacuum. It's really powerful. And, you know, if you're ever in a situation where, you know, like it depends on your climate, I guess. But if you get in the car and you have, you know, snowy or muddy boots or something, you know, and you get all that stuff on the carpet. If it's a shop vac, oftentimes these are wet dry vacs. So, you know, no problem. But
right. But
your home vac for inside the house – that really can't handle that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So this is a better scenario, I guess, a better situation to find yourself in.
You know what else is really cool? I wish I could remember the specific name of it off the top of my head now. I've been in cars before that have an onboard vacuum attached, like to the center console in the back seat.
Was it a Honda Odyssey?
No.
They have an onboard vacuum.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they do.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I think other, you know what, there are other minivans that have vacuums now, but I think
that makes sense because they're for families.
Well, they're in the back. Yeah, no, it does. It does. It's actually not a bad feature. Not that you necessarily have to have a vacuum in there because, you know, there's ways around, like I just said, you keep a shop vac in the garage. Done.
Yeah.
But I guess you've got it on the road with you.
Well, those things are also so oversized, you could just put the shop vac in there.
That's true.
Okay.
That's true. Well, okay. I couldn't resist bringing that up when you said there was an onboard vac.
I wish you had.
So you were in a vehicle that had one of these and you found it useful?
Yeah, it was a sedan and it had, you know, just like a regular four-door and it had – I can't remember the model, but it had this center console and in the rear of the console facing back toward the back seats, there was just a small – again, like Dirt Devil or Dust Devil size.
Oh, yeah.
Vacuum attachment.
Nice.
Yeah. And the person who was driving it, as soon as I got out of the car, they broke out the little vacuum and started
on the seat
floorboard.
That, on the seat that you were – oh, on the floorboard. Oh, so
yeah.
you tracked some stuff in.
No, I didn't.
Now here's – so this is – I used to do this all the time, and I think I still might catch myself doing this.
What's that?
When I get into a car sometimes, I will sit down first with my legs outside of the vehicle,
uh-huh.
and I'll kind of like knock my shoes together.
Yeah.
And I think – you know where I get that is from back when I would get in the car when there was snow. On
yes.
the ground and
yeah.
salt and things like, you know, I don't want to bring salt into the car because that just attracts moisture. So I would always make it a point to do that. And I kept doing that throughout the summer and the fall and the spring as well. And I brought that down here with me. I still do that, even though it's not an environment like that, but I still do that and it keeps the carpets cleaner. It really does.
I think I've seen you do that.
I have. And I don't do it all the time now. I used to do it all the time.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of an unconscious action that I do. You know,
well,
I just,
it's better to do it when it's sometimes unnecessary than miss it when it would help.
Yeah.
Know?
I mean, it's like I just knock my shoes together three or four times and then I put my legs in. Mm-hmm. I know it's a weird habit, but I think you'll find a lot of people from areas like that have snow and ice.
Yeah.
Will do that. Or if, you know, you're at the beach a lot, you might do that, you know, to get the sand off of your feet or your shoes.
Or a lot of people up north have, what are they called? Mud rooms, right?
Yeah. Yeah, mud rooms where you it's a room that, you know, you leave your boots and your coats and all that stuff in, and it's kind of separate from the house. It keeps all that stuff out of the way because there's not only a lot of clothing and stuff you have to take off to, you know, come inside, but it's also oftentimes, you know, wet or dirty or muddy, and they just call them mud rooms. But a lot of places have mud rooms up north.
And I think we can safely skip the trunk. I mean, just clean out your trunk.
Yeah, clean the trunk.
For
Pete's sake.
Yeah. For Pete's sake, open it up, untie that poor guy, let him out, and
yeah,
then vacuum.
If you see if you have like a Cadillac, like you buy an old Cadillac,
uh-huh.
and it's got like a, you know, a carpet that's rolled up, but the carpet looks a little bit lumpy.
Yeah,
maybe call somebody first before you empty that trunk.
Sure,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
true.
Yeah,
just call somebody.
call
don't,
the police.
Don't call
maybe,
us.
Maybe notify them. There's a situation.
And as always, if you don't have a phone, you can reach our complaint department via email 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just send a note to jonathan.strickland@howstuffworks.com.
Yeah, you can report that body there. I wonder if he's ever received any complaints from our show. Because you've mentioned this over the years a few times, several times, really.
Yeah, yeah.
More so recently, I think. I wonder if he's actually getting any complaints.
Well, I hope to hear from him because it is his job to field those complaints.
It does seem like he would send them our way if something happened or say, hey, what's going on?
You can also, by the way, Jonathan is a longtime friend of ours, friend of the show. You can check out his excellent podcast, Tech Stuff, available in the How Stuff Works Network.
Nice save.
So there we go.
Yeah,
right?
You saved it.
Yeah, a little bit of honey with the vinegar there. But we do have something else that we should establish. A lot of people think, oh, my car is smelling kind of mildewy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the smell will just go away, so I should get an air freshener. Mm-hmm. And like Scott said, something that clips on to your vent or something that hangs from your rear view, etc. You know, even like those little cans that you're supposed to open halfway over time.
Put them under the seat or something.
Yeah. All that jazz. Well, you probably should not do that, especially if you are trying to make your car cleaner and give yourself some safer air to breathe. We'll tell you why after a word from our sponsor.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we have returned. Scott, do you want to break the news?
I could do that. You want me to tell them right now?
I think it's better just to rip the Band-Aid off, man.
All right. There is a reason to not use air fresheners or deodorizers because oftentimes those products contain formaldehyde.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yep.
Like,
formaldehyde.
Like in funeral homes.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, they use it, to be fair, they use it to hold particle board together, and they use it for all different things. And that's why some people get sick in their own homes because of the formaldehyde in certain products. But air fresheners, car fresheners are one of those places. These deodorizers that you buy is just – it's simply one chemical to mask the smell of something else.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. Of another chemical, I guess, really, or whatever. Right. I mean, whether it's mold or food or anything. But formaldehyde, gross.
Yeah.
And you don't smell it. I mean, it's masked. It's got, you know, cherry flavor or, you know, cherry – not flavor, I guess. You wouldn't want to taste it. Cherry scent.
Right.
Pine scent or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, but underneath all that is formaldehyde.
Right. And there are some different products you can find that won't have that stuff in it, but you might have to look around. And then also – we're not saying these air fresheners will kill you or anything. We're just saying if you're trying to get away from pollutants, that's just adding to the problem in a temporarily pleasant way. So let's go back to mold or mildew inside the AC, because when I had my very first car, this was a problem.
Mm, yeah, I think a lot of people had this problem. I think it's really common for people to have a moldy, stale smell coming out of their AC unit in their car. And again, I mean, a lot of people just don't understand that, you know, that is a trigger for some people. It's an allergy trigger. It causes a lot of other things as well. It could cause headaches. It could cause itchy eyes. It can cause respiratory problems. It can cause a lot of different health concerns. So the smartest thing to do, I mean, if you're not you know, somebody who can you know, really dig into this and do it yourself, you can take it to the dealer and have them check it out and figure out where that moldy, mildewy smell is coming from, because it could be deep, deep within the heating and cooling system, you know, back in the ductwork where you can't reach.
Right.
They've got tools that, just like in your house, they can, you know, feed through there and look at the air ducts and make sure that they're all clean, or maybe they're not clean. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe there is something in there, and they can clean those out. But a lot of times it's deep in there, you know, like back in the housings, you know, like back behind the dash where you can't get to. And, it's in areas that you can't access. You know, you don't have any kind of a way to reach them, a way to clean them out. And dealers sometimes can. They have special tools. Mm-hmm. They have, tricks, I guess. You know, they have the proper equipment in order to clean out that system, to make it run fresh again. You know, it's the coil sometimes gets, build up of debris and, you know, dust and mold and, you know, other kinds of garbage on it. And that's what often smells, because it gets wet and it stays wet, you know, after the system shuts down. There's just a whole host of problems that can be behind the dash that you have no idea that stuff's going on. But it's there. And you the only way you know it's there is by the smell that comes out.
There's also another thing that people commonly run into, which is the immensely irritating sound of water sloshing around somewhere in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Every red light, every time you accelerate from the green light, you hear that stuff. You can tell I'm speaking from personal experience here. That can drive you mad. And dealers can fix that, because, you know, a lot of those panels will have exit points for that water to run through.
Yeah, there's a drain hole or something that's clogged or plugged up in some way, and they can free that, or they can create a new one, you know, a new path for that that water to get out if there isn't one. A lot of times, you know, there'll be technical service bulletins that are posted or sent to dealerships, and, you know, alert them to the problem. You know, if more than, you know, 10 people come in with this situation, you know, I've got water in this panel and it's staying there for some reason. You know, after heavy rain and, you know, the car is sitting outside, I haven't driven it. I do hear that sloshing sound that you're talking about. You know, maybe there is a problem. Maybe there was a drain channel that was blocked, or maybe that, you know, they forgot to drill holes in. They forgot to, you know, allow it to drain. So that happens. You said you've had this happen, Ben? You've heard that sloshing sound?
Oh, gosh.
From where? I mean, did you ever find it?
Yeah, it was the right side passenger door, like the shotgun panel on a Pontiac Bonneville.
It was in the door. Water in the door.
It's in the door.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah.
So the drain or whatever had, you know, plugged up and it was keeping water in there. So I'm sure that led to rust situation.
No, we got it fixed pretty well, because I found it on a drive to Tennessee to visit my family. And then one of my relatives, we were driving to the drugstore or something while we were up there, he heard it and he was not having it. And he was like, "This ends now."
So it's a little dramatic.
Yeah. Well, I was just a kid. I didn't know what I was
doing.
"This
ends now." He said, "This ends now."
Well, that I said, like, that was his.
It's his overall demeanor.
I might be painting him in a bit of a dramatic light.
I liked it though. Yeah, well, it's like, this has got to stop. You can't have water in your car door. I mean, that's the type of situation that a lot of people just, you know, either they neglect it, you know, they just, well, that's what happens at a stoplight, and that's what happens when I take off. It sounds like water moving around.
Yeah.
But that's not normal. That shouldn't happen in any car. So, well, maybe a steam car, Ben. What if you had like an old Stanley steamer or something? You got to carry water, right?
Yeah,
you got to carry your own water. So there's a reservoir somewhere that water would be sloshing around in. But that's about it. That's about the only situation I could think of where you'd like to hear that.
I think if I have if I'm driving a Stanley steamer on a daily basis, I have a very different life with a very different collection of problems and triumphs.
Would you have a monocle?
Of course it would.
A monocle on your Stanley steamer?
I don't think you can drive a steam-powered car without one.
I don't know why I associate that with somebody with a monocle, maybe. And a pocket watch. Some old-timey stuff. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm getting at here, really.
You know, I hear you really made it when you have two monocles. Not glasses. Just two monocles.
Yeah. I was thinking about doing that for, you know, the solar eclipse happened recently, right?
Yeah.
And we in a situation where we only had one pair of glasses, right? There were three people, one pair of glasses. And I was thinking we could rip these in half and each of us could, you know, two of us could have a monocle to look at the solar eclipse. But no one went for that idea.
Why?
Well, I mean, it's just, it seems better to just share the glasses a little bit. But
it's a great idea.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
What? How did you pitch it?
Well, just as I said, we could rip these in
that's
half.
That's why, yeah.
I know. I didn't have any kind of presentation or anything. PowerPoint or anything.
You got to start with a bold statement like a TED Talk and then a question. And then like a story. That's how they always do it.
No, this is a lot simpler than that. It was just, we're sitting outside and I decided, hey, you know what? Two people could use these at once. Mm-hmm. But no, it didn't work.
People got very possessive. I know you weren't in the office at the time, but people got very possessive over those eclipse glasses.
Yeah. And what's funny is the second that it's over, those things are worthless, right? I mean, everybody just throws them away. They're left laying on tables everywhere.
I kept mine.
But before that, I mean, you keep them tight, right? I mean, because there was a shortage. You know?
Yeah, were on Amazon selling fake glasses. There was a kid, and I mean like a child, down the street from here who must have gotten some of those pseudo 3D glasses from a movie theater.
Oh, no.
And he was selling them.
Oh, no.
I had to respect his hustle, Scott.
Oh, that's awful.
It's bad that he was selling fake glasses. Some people probably damaged their eyes, but surely they would notice that there was a difference.
I would hope so.
Well, we're talking about preventative steps, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean,
we're loosely talking about preventative steps.
Yeah.
So we could take it back to some car stuff.
Something related to cars?
I worked in the title of the show.
Way to go.
In the episode.
Don't say the name of the show.
So, look, you know, a lot of this stuff is theoretically great. We're talking about ideal conditions. The reality is going to be much different. If you are, for instance, you work with animals, you're a baker, you live anywhere near the beach, you're walking on a rainy day, you're not always going to be able to keep your car 100% unless you're Jay Leno and you have a team of people who do that for you.
Well, even so, I mean, think about this. And this is listed here, and I was kind of surprised by this, but not surprised. I mean, I guess if you're a hairdresser, if you're somebody who works with chemicals all day, you know, if you work in a lab or something where, you know, you're exposed to different chemicals and irritants of some sort, you know, whatever that may be, all that stuff travels with you on your clothing into your car. And then that gets deposited there sometimes, you know, in the seats or, you know, on the controls or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's left behind and that accumulates. It gathers up and grows. And it sometimes can be, you know, if it's not irritating to you, obviously, you know, that's your job or whatever you do, it could be irritating to somebody else, you know, a passenger. So, you know, that's one area that we hadn't really thought about, I guess, is the transfer of materials, you know, from a job into the car. I guess if you're somebody like that, you know, if you're like a food processor or a cosmetologist or maybe, like we said, a painter or a welder, you know, someone has like stuff on your clothes when you get in.
Yeah.
You can take the top layer of clothing off and shake it out. You can even change clothes before you get in your car. That's one possible thing you could do.
That's kind of extreme though, isn't
well,
it?
I guess, but
it depends on what you're doing.
Well, let's say if I was a hairdresser, right? Let's say I'm a hairdresser.
All right. There you are. End of the day, covered in hair.
Covered in hair.
You look like a Sasquatch.
I don't want to get in my car covered in hair, right? You look like a Sasquatch, yeah. So what do you do? I mean, do they have a vacuum at your office there? You can, you know, vacuum yourself off before you get in the car. I know you could shake out your clothing, but you're going to bring that hair into your car, and that's going to be an irritant for somebody else, if not yourself. But it's also just going to make your car filthy. It's going to make it dirty. You're going to have hair in the car, cut hair. Same thing with, you know, if you're a baker, you might have, you know, cooking materials on you, whether that's just something simple like, you know, flour or yeast or whatever it is. But all that stuff, again, that's going to get in the car. It's going to stay in the car, and it's going to be an attractant for other things. I mean, and if it's attractive enough to attract, you know, like rats or mice or could be even like bugs, like cockroaches or anything like that, that may also find that appealing in some way. And there's so many different things that can happen that you just aren't thinking of. I mean, when you need to take time to take the top layer of clothing off and shake it out, I guess, if you have a certain type of job. What if you wear a lab coat maybe?
Yeah.
And you can leave that there at the office, but still your pants or whatever are going to be covered with it. Your shoes are going to be covered with it.
So, yeah, I see how there are levels of this.
I mean, there are endless examples of this. Mm-hmm. Let's say that you're an astronaut and you get moon dust in your car. irritant to some people.
God, wouldn't that make your car worth millions of dollars?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm of course
the moon dust Miata.
Of course, I'm joking. But you know, but you know what I'm saying is like every job has something that you bring home.
Sure.
Well, most jobs, I guess. What do we bring home?
What do I bring home?
Yeah, what would be on your clothing from this job?
Oh.
Oh, you do the food stuff.
Well, I was going to say I've been stealing Coca-Colas for years now. I'm embezzling those left and right, man.
Right. I guess the company pens maybe that fall out of your pocket, you know?
Oh, yeah. They fell off the podcast truck.
not so much a like an allergen, though.
Oh, yeah. You mean like, okay, so for allergens, one thing that I end up – I probably end up bringing into my car a lot is if I'm hauling plants. This is not really related to work. Mm-hmm. But I mean like I'll go get Christmas trees for people, you mm-hmm. know, and those Christmas tree needles get everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And
the sap.
And the sap, yeah. And I think in our building, our job, just at our 9-to-5 day job type stuff, probably we don't run into too much, but we're around a lot of construction.
Yeah.
That might be a factor.
Yeah.
But I hope I don't eat these words later, Scott. But to be honest with you, I have very few allergies. Or maybe I'm just living so filthy that I'm used to having a low level of sickness all the time.
That could be, I guess. Yeah, you've become accustomed to it. No, but I think you're right. We may end up with drywall dust on us or something like that if we walk down the hallway because you know, there's always new office spaces that are being built. And this building itself is very old. I mean, it's nearly a century old, and you know, there's a lot of dust and things like that still in some of the back corner, you know, the dusty corners, I guess, of this place. If you explore it enough, mm-hmm. So there's a chance that we could bring some stuff home. But some people, I guess, what I'm saying is, some people have jobs that do have you know, a lot of stuff that ends up on them by the end of the day. If they don't take the time to get that off of them or to, you know, have a change of clothing or whatever, you know, put it in a bag and take it home and wash it, you know, that can cause a problem.
Right. Exactly. Scott, I think we're near the end of the show today. There's some valuable advice. I'm going to have what in the South we call a come to Jesus moment about the state of my car because it's not near as clean as I thought it was. And I hope that you have enjoyed this episode, ladies and gentlemen. I hope it hasn't made you too paranoid, but instead given you some tips and tricks.
Yeah, remember, that's your third space. So, you know, as Ben said, you know, you've got your home, you got your office or school, and then you've got your car. Mm. And pay attention to that third space because that can be making you sick. I mean, it's a strange thought, but really all the stuff that we talked about plus more. I mean, if you look up some information about this, you're going to find some other eye-opening facts about things, mm-hmm. you know, like strange about the formaldehyde in the air fresheners, right?
Yeah. And
who would ever have guessed?
I would not have guessed.
No.
I still have a couple of old air fresheners, you know, like I bought them at the store and I just left them still wrapped.
Yeah.
But now I guess they're just going to be stocking stuffers to people I don't like.
That is so mean.
Yeah, I'm a bad person. Well,
no, but just not only for yourself, but for, you know, everybody else that rides in your vehicle, just be considerate of that. You know, maybe take time to vacuum your car and make sure the seals are good and all that. And just make it a cleaner place. That's all.
And then the thing I am looking forward to the most from you out there, ladies and gentlemen, so I want to hear the stories about the dirtiest cars you ever saw, because we got so many responses when we asked earlier about which car you own that was the most massive hassle. I don't want to do too many spoilers, but there's this great story from a guy who just bought the wrong Mazda. Poor guy. Did you see that one?
I did. That was a long story, but well written. And, you know, we may do an episode on hassle cars.
He has like a selfie of him. This guy has a selfie, where he's crouching in the engine compartment of the Mazda.
Where the engine of his new car used to be.
Right. And still on his new car. So do stay tuned for that. That's at least going to be a listener mail. And in the meantime, write to us and let us know what's the dirtiest car you've ever seen. Hopefully it was not yours. Bonus points for pictures, but we'd love to hear about it. You can find Scott and I on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook. We are CarStuffHSW at both of those. You can find every other show we have ever done over the course of our almost decade-long podcast.
We're getting close.
Livelihood here.
Yeah. Almost a decade.
We always say we're going to, like, oh, here's the big 700th episode or whatever. Yeah. And as soon as you know, it just flies by, right?
Yeah. We don't keep track. And then by the time we notice it, we're up to 705 or something.
Ah, well.
I think we're past 800 now.
Really?
I think so.
Well, that's a great problem to have.
Yeah. Well, we might even be close to 900. I mean, I don't know where we are now.
Oh, boy.
We're up there.
We're adrift in space and
time. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess I'd like to say that we'll pay attention when we get close to 1,000 shows, but I just can't guarantee that.
All right, so Scott says he's going to pay attention when we get close to 1,000 shows, but he cannot guarantee it. Do you like that? How's the bottom of that bus that I just threw you under?
Yeah, thanks.
But yes, we are excited to hear your stories about the craziest, dirtiest cars you've ever seen. And even more importantly, if you have a suggestion for an upcoming episode that you think your fellow listeners would enjoy, write to us directly. We are
CarStuff@HowStuffWorks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.